Well, is the grace of God unfair? A month ago, many of us have experienced a most destructive thunderstorm in Washington, D.C. It swept through the entire area with gusts of 80 miles per hour. It produced extensive damage, downed many trees, and produced our power outage for more than a million people. Our house was one of those without lights for 4 nights. Well, without power, without lights at night, we have to use candles or flashlights or LCD lanterns. But worst, the house was about 80, 90 degrees inside and 100 degrees outside. And the air conditioning was not working. Well, there was no internet, no TV, no iPad, no iPhone. We have to quickly get a radio operated radio so that we can listen to the news outside. The garage door was not working. The refrigerator is defreezing. I'm sure many of you share that experience that I had a month ago. While doing the meditation following the thunderstorm, it occurred to me our life has depended too much on electricity, and we have taken electric power for granted. Indeed, we have taken the grace of God for granted in the same way. We depend so much on the grace of God for our lives, for clean air to breathe, good food to eat, to relax, to work, to hope, to dream, to love, knowing that our God was overlooking us. Our life, our future are all grounded in the grace of God. Yet, we have taken the grace of God for granted. The grace of God, like the electric power, was the power for the central support of our lives. Further on during my meditation, I realized that the grace of God is rooted on a different value system than that of the American society. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. Let me give you a few examples. Well, the Johns Hopkins Hospital, where I worked, has always dreamed of having a building to house our internationally renowned heart and vascular system. But in the recent decades, the economic conditions in the U.S. has been deteriorating. Fundraising is not easy. So a few years ago, the president of the United Arab Emirates, or UAE, Sheikh Zayed, and his relatives came to our hospital for treatment. Well, in appreciation of our service, he decided to donate $80 million, to build the heart and vascular institute that I shown in the picture. Wow, the hospital leadership was so moved and declared to name this building the Sheikh Saeed Tower, which was open for operation just in April this year. Well, the hospital is indeed gloriously beautiful. The wards are well equipped, and in the pediatric ward, there's a basketball court so that the kids during convalescence can play and relax. Well, a nurse was working in the institute said to me, he said, I do not know how to pronounce Sheikh Saeed, but for him to donate 80 million in one scoop is indeed incredible. Well, this reminds me of a passage in Mark 12, which record that Jesus, as shown in this picture, was sitting next to an offering box. And many rich people put in a lot of money, but a poor widow came and put in two tiny copper coins. And Jesus remarked to the disciples, this poor widow has put more money into the treasury than all the others, because they gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything all she had to live in. You can see the value system of Christ is very different from the system of American society. We emphasize on large sum of donation, but the Lord looks at our heart and value the copper coins. Indeed, the God who made the world and the universe, $80 million is just a penny. However, he valued our humble, self-sacrificing offering. Isn't the grace of God remarkable? Let me give you another example. In February this year, my wife Katrina and I visited Abu Dhabi, the capital of United Arab Emirates. We went to visit this beautiful Sheikh Saeed Mosque, one of the most beautiful in the entire Arabian countries. The rooftop of this mosque is made of pure gold. Otherwise, the hot weather and the sandstorm will oxidize and then tarnish the roof. And inside the roof, there's 1,000 columns made of precious stone with inlaid from Germany, China, Australia, and Austria. Well, the tour guide told us, why is this mosque so beautiful and there are so many of them? Because of the belief in Middle East that the builders of mosques will surely go to heaven. This reminds me of Paul in Acts 17. Paul said, the God who made the world and everything in it, he's the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples made by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he need anything from us. But he give us our life and everything. Well, as to go to heaven, you all remember the story of Jesus with Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus, no one enters the kingdom of God unless he is born out of water and spirit. So to enter the kingdom of God is not donating billions of dollars to build mosques or churches, but we must build the temple of God in our hearts. Now let me give you a third example. This is the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 20. Jesus said God was like the owner of a vineyard who hires people to work. Some workers clocked at sunrise, others at morning coffee breaks, others at noontime, still others at afternoon coffee breaks. But the last group was clocked at 1 hour before quitting time. So when the workers who had worked 8 hours under the blazing hot sun learned that the worker who only worked for 1 hour and have the same salary, they complained. The owners of the vineyard, his payment system contradicting all the American system we have. We talk about employee motivation and fair compensation. Some people even say, Jesus' way of handling business, he will sure go bankrupt. How can you pay someone who worked for 8 hours the same pay as someone who worked 1 hour? However, the owner of the vineyard, representing God, have mercy on those who come in 1 hour before quit time and gave them a denarius, which is the amount of money a laborer has to feed his family. So Jesus was not talking about fairness. He is talking about the needs, God's mercy on the laborer. Isn't it good to have a boss like Christ? Now, the final example I want to give you about Christ's value system, I had an uncle who has cancer, which have spread. And I told his wife the seriousness of the disease, and his wife responded. Her husband was a generous person with good moral standards. Even they do not attend churches. She suggested he probably has no problem going to heaven. We all have ideas that good people go to heaven. Do you agree? But now look at Calgary, where Christ was nailed on the cross between two thieves in Luke 23. And one of the criminals teased Jesus, while the other criminal scolded him, saying, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are all punished justly. For our deeds deserve this punishment. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." Then he turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus accepted his confession, his faith, and accepted a lifelong criminal into paradise. Some of us may still think we are good people. We do nothing bad. We may even go to church. We shall admit it to paradise. Is it true? Paul said in Romans 3, there's no one man who's righteous, not even one. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We may be admitted to heaven, not because of anything, but because of the grace of God. And through the blood of Jesus, as the song we just sang, we are forgiven. So the value system of American society is very different from that of Christ. Well, one of the major attractions of America to all immigrants around the world is the principle of equality and fairness. This is especially attractive to the Chinese immigrants because it coincides with the Chinese teaching of you sow and you harvest. And this fairness principle was grounded on the Judeo-Christian concept of the Mosaic laws, which is a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. In America, we emphasize on investment and return. We emphasize on incentive management, which we all do in our office. We provide carrots so that people will follow the carrots and get the carrots and appreciate the incentive. In America, we also appreciate love. But in the American society, you love me and I will love you in return. It's a form of exchanging love. We wish to be loved, that's why we love. I am so pleased that the American value system does not work in the kingdom of God. Even Steve Jobs, who's not a Christian, said in one of his speeches, "Life is not fair, get used to it." But in the kingdom of God, that fairness is in the grace of God. Our value system is grace. That's why in Isaiah 55, Jehovah said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." The value system of grace is best illustrated in the parable of the prodigal son that was just read. What the prodigal son did to the father and the father's reception of the prodigal son cannot be described in the term of fairness. The prodigal son had no respect for the father. He asked for his share of the estate before his while his father was still alive. And this is totally unacceptable in the Middle East tradition. The prodigal son will never repay the father because he had wasted all the estates. The prodigal son was a spoiled child who drank, living with bad companions, until he squandered his wealth He's not working. He's not productive. He has wasted his talents. However, the prodigal son coming home has shown humility. He humbled himself. He repented. He took action going back to the father's home. He accepted the love of the father. No wonder the older brother cried, "It is unfair." This is so common sentence that all Americans like to say, it is unfair, even from children to adult, even from daily conversation to campaigning speech of presidential election. It is unfair. But the character of the grace of God is uncalculating mercy, unconditional acceptance, and unceasing love. So when we are lost, would you be humble to return to God? When we commit a sin, would we humble ourselves to ask for forgiveness? When we are lost in the wilderness, will we get up and return home? Would we be humble enough to accept the love of our Heavenly Father and give up our demand for fairness? Well, in the narrative of the prodigal son in the Bible, the story stops short. After describing the celebratory party, there was no further description about the prodigal son after the party was over. At that evening, and the many nights to follow, when all the guests and the party was over, and the prodigal son returned to his own bedroom, in the quietude of the night, he must ask, "What now? Where shall I go now? Where am I going? What is the road ahead of me?" Now, this is an important question for us because we are all prodigal sons. We have returned and accepted and received the forgiveness of God and the grace of God. But now where are we going? Indeed, the complexity of modern life touches us on every side. Our life must be arranged with respect to the future, and yet the future is hidden from us. Indeed, in many crossroads, as shown in this PowerPoint, I have stood wondering, where shall I go now? Well, there are two biblical verses who has consistently shed light on my spiritual journey that I like to share with you this morning. The first one is Proverbs 3. Many of you will know this well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. So the first step ahead of the prodigal son is to rebuild the relationship with the father. The relationship is one of trust. The above Bible verses describe the trust relationship in three steps. First, trust with all your heart. Having experienced the deep grace of Father, we must recognize the goodness, the wisdom, the providence, and the power of the Holy Father. That trust must be devoid of self-reliance, self-conceit, and self-sufficiency, which we are so proud of us ourselves, so that there will be no arrogance tied to the presumption in our mind. And third, we must acknowledge God. The word acknowledge in Hebrew is yada. Yada in Hebrew means to recognize, to obey the commandments, and to look for God's direction. It further means self-surrender and a wholehearted faith to follow God's way and guidance. And at the end, God will promise to make our path straight. Now, Moody has described the Christian pilgrimage in two classes of train rides. There's the second class, and there's the first class. The second class train ride will be, whenever I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. But the first class train ride is that I will trust the Lord so that I will not be afraid. Will you take the first class or the second class train ride in your pilgrimage? Will you truly sense the grace of God in your life, that you trust Him with the first class train ride? The second Bible verses that have helped me in planning my road ahead is in Romans 8:28. And we all know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have called according to His purpose. This verse has bring great comfort to all Christians, knowing that God will order all things to work for our good, whatever situation we may be. But this promise comes with a condition, that we must love God with all our mind, our heart, our strength, and our soul. We must love God more than our career, our pocketbook, our property, our family, and our positions. Only for those truly, who are truly called to this purpose, then all things will work according to His grace in God's appointed time. Yes, both Peter and John mentioned in 1 Peter and in 1 John, we have not seen God. Can we really love a God that we have not seen? I have asked myself repeatedly many times, do I truly love God whom I have not seen? My answer is yes. We have not seen God, but we have seen His grace throughout our life. That is the evidence of God's presence in our life. In my meditation in that dark night following the thunderstorm, I recalled how abundant was God's grace to me. He led me into my career. He allowed me to have training in Boston, a career development in Chicago, and to service him in Hong Kong and Beijing, and now in Baltimore. He has given me abundance in having a devoted family, a house to live in, and even more for the forgiveness of my sins of commission and sins of omission, as well as for the opportunity to witness for him in front of you today. How may we not love God, since he has so abundantly given us his grace, totally unfettered in the American system? The love of God will assure us that whatever lies in the future, he will make all things good for our benefit in our life journey. So our future is assured after our returning to God as a prodigal son. So in conclusion, I'd like to share a passage from John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, and he was a slave trader. He was called by God, he repented, and the grace of God covered his sins. Now, in one of the sermons, John Newton said, he was at the gate of heaven in his dream. He was surprised on three groups of people. The first group, John Newton has expected them to be there, but they weren't. These are the big donors of the church, the prominent bosses in the society, leaders of church, and those we call good people. They thought their good work would lead them to heaven, but they were not there at the pearly gate. The second group, Newton had not expected them to be there, but they were there. These are the poor widows, the weak, the infirmed, the beggars, the divorced, the alcoholics, the drug addicts. They have repented, and in their humility, they were led to the gate of heaven. Then there's the third group, of which Newton found himself. This is the group who have sinned against God and were not worthy of going to heaven. Yet the abundant grace of Jesus and his forgiveness, a miracle happened, and they were allowed to approach the gate of heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us follow the value system of Christ. Let us confirm ourselves to the system of grace. So let us thank God for his grace and love him because he loved us first, with a trust beyond all understandings. And our love for God will make all things work for our good in this earthly journey. Let us rejoice in the amazing grace of God and serve him with our heart, our minds, our strength, and our soul. Amen.